The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma. And I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Day or so, I've had this growing sense I'm being trained by conditioning. And how it feels is that as I vacate, my attention vacates portions of what is, or my mind, or whatever that is, conditioning just automatically fills that in. Exactly. I can hear that noise in the background as it's going on.
Which is really kind of special to see in terms of it gives you a chance. That you're seeing, so your attention wanders and it leaves.
And it comes back.
A vacancy. And then you can, what you're seeing is the conditioning scoops into that vacancy and is trying to train you.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly how it feels. And then as it does that, it seems like I can watch that actually happening and the identification coming in, and then all of a sudden that it's like this conditioned world just kind of blooms, and then there's this suffering in it. Uh-huh. And oftentimes that's when I'll catch on and bring the attention back to it, and if there's a disidentification in that, then it seems to work the other way. It's like there's a space that opens, and then the attention fills that up, and then I'm not quite sure what conditioning is doing in that place. If it's regrouping,
it's
stuttering,
biding its
time, or something like that. And then, because it feels like through that opening, then there's other little pockets that become that just start to fill out, and so the moment starts to get bigger. The suffering drops away. That world that suffering was, or the condition was created, starts to vanish.
Yeah.
And then that goes to a certain extent, and then feels like there's condition barriers, or something happens on the side that starts to take some attention, and then it all gets pushed back over to the suffering side, and then it goes back to this.
Yeah.
So it just feels like that kind of...
Yeah, it sounds like, in a way, too, could be described as light room, dark room. That you're watching the dark room sort of be created, and then as you're watching and conditioning sort of get shoved out, as you practice and more space is created, then you're back in the light room and there and watching all that.
Yeah, very much so. Uh-huh. And with it, then there's a it just tends to dash all of these conditioned notions about what center is, And, you know, I believe, or conditioning would like me to believe that it's, I'm either disidentified or I'm not.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's either light room or dark room. And there's not a, there's a little bit of territory in the middle, but there's not. And how it feels, it feels more like it's all territory in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That there actually isn't, there, I mean, you know, none of that really exists. It's just, it's hard to describe, but does that make sense?
Yeah, well, what I was saying as you were saying that is it's posed as you're either identified or you're disidentified.
Yes.
Which doesn't allow you to, it doesn't offer the possibility that you could see the movement.
Yeah, or there's any middle zone.
Oh, there's any middle zone, and in fact that you are seeing the movement.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's a huge middle zone in there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what are you seeing about all of that?
Well, it's actually great fun when I'm in the light room part of it, of course. but even not, I'm learning to enjoy all of it, to be, I had this notion of being entertained by conditioning, right? That kind of fascination and how it's like a, you know, 100, 200 channel television, whatever, the cable, right? And it's all bad TV.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no remote. There's, well, you can't change the channel. I mean, whatever channel is there is what the channel there is.
Uh-huh.
And so it varies from, well, it varies from all of those states.
Yeah.
And so looking to see it that way feels liberating.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a place where resistance is falling away.
Hmm. I hadn't thought about that.
That to have the whole thing be interesting and entertaining instead of, oh God, here it comes again, or oh God, here I am again, or whatever form that takes for you.
Yeah, well, as you say, that conditioning says, oh no, resistance hasn't.
Yeah, it says it, well, resisting.
Sure. Yeah,
and as you say, entertaining is a whole lot more fun than suffering.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah. Justin.
That was interesting. That's my experience too. Mm-hmm. That it seems like conditioning wants to divide it up into everything, into a dualistic way of framing it, including practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's like Chris was saying, I think that's my experience too. Everything is in the middle. There is no sort of objective anything you can compare something to, to say this is that and not that.
It's not that. It's not got nice little lines around it like that.
No. I mean, it seems like it sometimes because, you know, there's the experience of being identified with something and then suddenly letting go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it really is a stark contrast. It's like, I was identified and now I'm not.
Yeah.
And so there's that, but there's like layer and layer and layer. You know, so even that's happening in the container of potentially practice and awareness, and even that layer could attract some identification, and then but that's happening in the container of attention and awareness, and it just kind of keeps going back and back and back, so that you know there isn't anything that's not life, including conditioning, and there isn't anything that's not practice with that.
Yeah, and there isn't anything I'm hearing as you're saying that is set in cement.
Mm-hmm.
It's all movement all the time.
Yeah, it's not conceptual. That it feels like that's what conditioning is trying to do all the time, is to take an idea like identification and then make it conceptual and dualistic, and then something you can either succeed at or fail at, or all the things that it will do with it.
The
reason I was interested in that is the version of that I've been looking at is we've been having a lot of conversations recently about like what life wants for us, or letting life choose, or letting life guide, or whatever. And I realized the other day that what conditioned mind does with that in me is to make it dualistic and make it say that there's basically a right answer.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You know, that life is, there's one thing that life wants me to do.
Right.
And I have to find what that is.
You have to figure it out.
Whereas I think in reality, I don't think life particularly cares. I think, you know, what life wants for me, it feels like it's always on a process level. You know, wants me to be, wants me to be happy and fulfilled, or wants me to be on the way of transformation. You might say that, so not necessarily even happy or fulfilled.
Or to truly be living it.
Yeah, or to be alive. Instead of this dualistic, you know, becomes content, conditioned around content, and then it's just the same old thing with a new outfit.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, and it's fun because what you're describing is what we talk about the middle way, and it is. It's all middle. And we're watching all of the activity within that.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, to say, you know, to kind of say, well, you know, let's say what life wants for me is to be here, you know, and along with here to be happy, connected, at peace, you know, all the things that go along with that. If you can say really the life wants anything, but which I don't think you can.
Yeah.
But just as a way of talking about it, it does feel like there's you know, when it's the old, what's there when you're not doing anything else. It feels like life is headed towards you know, being here and all those things. And so it feels like aligning myself with that, instead of with any content-specific thing around that,
yes,
makes it so that whatever content thing happens is going to lead towards that. There might be 10 different ways to get there, and I kind of and I get to choose if I'm not if I'm aligning myself with life on a process level instead of on a content level.
That there are all those possibilities, all of which are being presented, and there isn't a right one or a wrong one. And you just keep moving along, and life will get you to wherever life is getting you through.
Yeah, it's funny. This is one of the things I enjoy the very most about life and practice, is that I think all of what I just said is true, but if there's a way in which you could say, life is always putting in front of me the next thing to do, and that feels true too.
Yeah.
Like on a content level. And so, I don't know, there's this big mystery right there that it's one of those kind of paradoxes, I think, that can look at kind of forever.
Yeah. And live. Just get to live it.
And never draw any conclusions about it, really. I don't think you really can.
It's the sentence meant place that conditioning would prefer that you go.
Yeah, it's just living in that mystery where we are being guided, even feels like even on the content level, and yet there's no agenda about it. Or, you know, we could be, the exact same thing could be happening in a different content. There's something I really can't say about it that I can see, but it's kind of like you could flip a coin, and it could either be left or right, and whichever one that is. That you go with is the one that life wanted you to go with. But you could have chosen the other one, and life would have wanted you to go with that one also.
Yeah.
I don't know, anyway.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. I just got a little hit of it, and I can't articulate it anymore. Yeah.
I guess another way of saying it is that conditioned mind can't understand the guidance that life is giving, that life is offering. That there's no framework it can really put it in. And so we just sort of have to kind of get in there and go.
Yeah, because it only has its karmic perspectives.
And it can only do stuff like divide everything up into concepts and categories and break it down into pieces that can be compared and contrasted and, you know, used to manipulate us with and all that kind of stuff.
Good, bad, right, wrong.
Yeah, it's really all it can do with it. It can't just, there's a place where that paradox and all the other paradoxes that we always talk about is not a paradox, it's one. It's just that conditioning can't get there.
Right. Yeah.
And so we can only experience it, and you can't even really talk about it. You just say, that was it.
Yes. Yeah, it reminds me of the category on being time, that here and now are, that here and now are at the same point, and that's where we are. And conditioning can't get there.
Can't get there.
Jen?
So, and that mystery place, it feels like in life, that's delightful. And in conditioning, that's just maddening. Just, And that place of, I just resonate with everything that's been said so far this morning. I've been really looking at attention. And, which is good, since we're doing awareness practice.
It is, yes. It's encouraged.
What else would I be looking at, right? But shocking how, actually, that could, there could be lots of other foci besides that.
Yeah.
In one day. But really, boy, I just, I guess with the resistance about starting, it's so fun to see. One of the things I saw last night was possibly, maybe it's just for me, but kind of the ultimate definition of resistance is attention leaving the moment.
Mm. Attention leaving the moment.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched over and over and over again over the last couple of days. It's as simple as, we talked a lot about this when we were doing the no mind practice.
Yes.
Turning attention.
Thinking, not thinking.
Thinking, not thinking, turning attention to not thinking. How simple that is, and how that's really all that's required.
Mm-hmm.
And so practicing that, and just really seeing over the last couple of days, this sort of very subtle, from subtle to gross, yeah, but...
right there.
Pretty soon. I mean, I talked a lot about that when we were talking about the no mind, but it really is like a. I truly can see my whole life in it. Just let me get this set up, then let go into no mind.
Yeah.
Or let me get this dangerous thing out of my way that's going to hit me over the head if I go into no mind.
Yes.
Right. And it's just so amazing. I mean, one of the mystery places for me is, boy, how could, on the one hand, it be so obvious that it's conditioning resistance, and on the other hand, participate in it?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Be so compelled to keep doing over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's neat, because when you said that, I heard but as also a description of resistance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let go of the moment. I'm not going to, for whatever string of reasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this morning so I was getting up and kind of setting intentions for the day, and I heard myself say, I'm just going to be here. And it was so interesting.
Who's going to be here?
I said, I'm just going to be here.
I'm just going to be here.
And
okay.
It was so interesting because I was walking and there was this sort of little energetic dive with that.
Mm-hmm.
So checking in with a mentor about that. And had this little, very brief but helpful conversation. And what came up in it, I often use athletic images because they're just helpful for me. And I was going to the Olympic athlete image. I'm always inspired by that level of what it takes, that level of one-pointed focus and commitment. So just sort of saying, okay, which athlete do we want to be today? Okay, so we chose diving. So what I saw was, so a diver is going to go out and practice today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so to say, I'm going to go do the jackknife perfectly today, is an energetic down. Because it's a setup for failure.
Mm.
But today, I think I'll focus on the jackknife dive. That's what I'm going to practice.
Uh-huh.
But there's a whole different feel to it.
Yes.
Yep. And I just saw that that's an energy up. That's what I'm going to practice today.
Yeah.
And kind of in that way that someone was pointing out earlier, just with that curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
So with an actual diving, just get up there, do it. Get up there, do it. And each time, notice, how did that feel? Oh, okay, so I went in a little to the left, and what was the feeling with that? And then, just all that makes it fun instead of God, I got to do the best, perfect diet.
Yeah, no standards to, yeah, that's a nice, and there's so much of a felt sense of the difference between those, even though it's not, it's not like a blaring contrast in the statement, but just to go and practice instead of going to do something perfectly, and of course, perfect is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be moved around.
It can be seriously moved around.
No matter what the thing looks like.
You can always fail at perfect.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I see. Mm-hmm. Beth, did I see your hands?
Yeah, and now conditioning is going, well, do you really want to talk about that? I mean, is that really where you want to go? So here we are. I love the image of conditioning being a cable box with tons of channels, and I imagine conditioning holding the channel changer.
Yes, it seems that way.
It's the one saying, oh, you're not interested in that story? Here, I got another one. Didn't like that one?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not paying attention? Oh, you learned not to pay attention to that one, so let's try this one. Mm-hmm. This one always usually gets you. And that variation didn't really get you? Okay, let's do this variation of it. Could be the same story, but, you know, just
right,
a little different
throw
twist.
A little something to make it catchy.
Yeah. And if none of that's working, let's go back to when you were five, you know, and just replay that again. So I find that highly fascinating, and that's a lot of what's been happening with me, is that when I was here in November, by the third day, conditioning had really just gotten its teeth into me, and I was a mess. This time, because I think it only took me 4 months to get back here, and because I reinvigorated my practice after November in my home life, it waited a week. Or at least I could keep it at
bay.
That's
great. Yeah, I get that twice.
You know,
as long.
But I was at this very kind of monotone place, like a limbo kind of a place.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's that in between place people are talking about, although it feels different than what I think I've heard. Not really in the light room, not really in the dark room, but more just stepping back from all of it and just going, wow, that's what's happening.
So it sounds like interested.
Interested.
Not completely away from it, but interested in seeing it going on.
Not being thrown one way or the other, but just watching. Until Friday, when we did the sit-walk meditation. And feeling like I couldn't sit for another 30 seconds, let alone minutes, of just being in that place of watching conditioning go over and over again. And so I had texted Sherry and said, you know, what can I do about this sort of idea? And she's like, meditate more. Like, oh, God, really? Really? So I did. I came in last night and I did a 30-minute sit, and it was kind of the switch that sort of turned everything on. And I was able to sit this morning and be really kind of coming back to conscious compassion awareness, practicing that as opposed to just stepping back and just watching everything. It's then that, and this is a lot of what I talked about in November, was choosing to be in the actual.
Really
room.
Actively participating in your practice in a
right.
way that it sounds like you weren't.
Right, where I was in that limbo kind of place. And then the part of conditioning that was sort of arguing when you said, oh, didn't I see your hands? was the whole idea of that notion of caring. As it was mentioned today, the whole idea of life doesn't really care if I choose one thing or the other. Life kind of wants to just see, what am I going to do with it, and do I want to participate in it, sort of thing. And I kind of went back to, well, I think that's kind of what I meant when I said earlier in the week, Buddha doesn't care.
Yes.
You know, Buddha doesn't care if the bathroom is clean enough. Buddha cares what was behind you cleaning it or not cleaning it. You know, did you?
How are you?
And how are you, you know, cleaning it, sort of thing. And so I found a part of me who struggles with wanting to be heard and wanting to be understood really clearly, that's what came up, was like, I need to say something because I want to be understood, like some little girl in me wants to be understood. That it wasn't that Buddha had no compassion or, you know, anything like that, but just that wasn't the important part of it. It was more what was around the process.
Yeah, so feeling as though when we had that conversation the other day about if Buddha were there as we were cleaning a bathroom,
what
would be going on for Buddha?
Or, you know, are we, you know, cleaning it because we think Buddha cares?
Yes.
And so I even texted this to Sherry last night. I was sort of like, well, I'm getting caught in this kind of discussion between caring and compassion. Like, is there a difference? And, you know, what is this? And she answered back, well, I hope you answered conditioning with Buddha, one of Buddha's thundering silences. And I went, no, not quite. Still arguing it. But I'll go meditate. And that's actually what got me in here last night, to kind of to meditate on it. But I find here I am still wanting to discuss it. So.
And how would Buddha be with that?
See, I think, in the few stories that I've read about Buddha, you know, he was really about challenging your beliefs. Like, mm-hmm. you know, well, what's your belief behind wanting to be understood by everyone? And when that discussion happened earlier this week, you know, even at that moment, I wanted to jump back in and go, well, wait a minute, here's what I meant, or here's, and I thought, no, I'm going to step back from that mm-hmm. and just kind of be like, you know, no, it doesn't really matter. And then I thought, well, if life's presenting me with a second opportunity this morning to say something, conditions kind of jump all over that. So, I don't know. I still think it's fascinating. I think it is a fascinating discussion. You know, what does it mean to care? Because, like, you know, if you care, then you could be disappointed, or you could be, and I just can't imagine Buddha ever being disappointed in anything. It's just.
Yeah, it's interesting because it feels like it moves over into some different definitions of care.
And maybe that's all it is semantics. And maybe we just have different definitions of semantics. And that's kind of where I pulled back to, is like, I think we just have different definitions of, you know, what words mean. And so I'll just sit with what I have. And
yeah. And as you're sitting with what you have, how are you?
Well, I still feel like I want to, as you can tell, ad nauseum, I want to be understood. You know, I want to be understood. And that something is really important in.
Right. Do you know the feeling of being understood?
That's a really good question. I don't know.
So it might be interesting to.
That's a good place
to find that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Alex, I think I saw your hands.
Mm-hmm. I've been very interested in the middle way myself, and that this piece of the conversation has been very interesting for me too, because I think that I've been watching going along, and there's two different kinds of stirring up I'm experiencing. One is the stirring up that conditioning will try to do, which is throwing in all sorts of different ideas that there's a right way to do something, a wrong way to do something, and kind of like arguing for its side, almost. And then there's the kind of stirring up that I feel that the guide sometimes does, where it's like throwing something in there. Well, I'm not gonna project that that's what's going on, but I'm just gonna say that there's a stirring up that feels very helpful, in which, say, I'm here, and then all of a sudden I'm catapulted over to Cantaloma, and it's like, how am I? What's going on? Mm-hmm. You know, where I get to see, or I get to, you know, this thing changes, or there's an interruption thrown in to the way that, you know, the stream of wherever it is that I think I'm going. Because I watch on one side, it's where I'm going along, and it's like, I just want to be at peace with this. You know, like, I just want to practice and do this simple activity without all of these constant interruptions.
All of the stirring up that conditioning does? Without all the, like, is this right, actually, is this wrong, is this?
It feels like they actually exist in both kinds of stirring up.
Okay.
One is like very, I just want the program. I just want to know that I get up at this time. I know that I put on the exercise outfit. I know that I do the exercise. I know that I, you know, eat this, make sure that I'm healthy. I know that I meditate. I know that I get up and go to do working meditation here, whatever it is that I'm asked to do. And that's it. It's like the formula, you know, it's like, this is life, you know?
Okay.
It's getting me packaged with a little bow and ribbon.
Easy.
Yeah.
Very easy.
Exactly. Yeah. And what happens is the way conditioning comes in there, and it starts to well, what about this you learned about such and such? So if you if this person is successful doing it this way, what about that? Mm-hmm. And well, you know, then there's the other side of the story that, you know, no, that, there's people being successful not doing that. And it's like, well, what's the right way? And all of a sudden I've left mm-hmm. any kind of, I've left it. This is how conditioning gets us abandoned, you know, with the abandoned part. It's like, it's no longer about even taking care of myself. You're like, well, it's almost like losing the whole premise behind why I'm doing any of this
yeah.
for an idea about it, and getting yeah. involved in like this or that.
Yeah.
And what's funny about it is that it's actually helpful to get stirred up to get out of the little haze of mm-hmm. the pattern that it feels like that I'm in.
The pattern that has actually got some glue worked yeah. out around the edges and doesn't want to come loose.
Yeah, no, it doesn't want to come loose. It's like, yeah. It just wants to be pat, you know,
yes.
it wants not to be messed with anymore. It's like,
yeah, and besides, no changes.
Okay. No changes, no.
Yeah.
I understand exactly how it works. It's like, thank you very much. I'll just go along my merry way.
Yeah.
That's the irony. I think that's what the dichotomy or whatever it is that we're looking at this morning. It's like there's a way in which life provides, you know, it's almost like paying attention will solve all of it. It's like that's the undergirding that seems to get thrown out, you know, when conditioning gets involved with it all. It's like,
yeah.
I don't actually
yeah.
see what my experience of it is any longer. I'm almost either taking someone's ideas about it at face value and trying to almost hypothetically argue for one side over the other.
Yeah.
Versus actually, seeing what's so.
Yeah, and kind of being alive. Because that really hurt when you said, I don't really experience it anymore. I don't really see my experience of it because I'm locked
that,
in whatever.
That, and I'm caught up in an idea about it. Instead of actually doing it any longer.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I like it like we're going for something.
Like a
either,
sort
too.
Of a robotic.
It is
moving into it instead of truly participating.
Yeah, and it's and it becomes very driven in its ideas. It's almost like it's lost the context in which life operates in for a goal that is almost. Well, it loses the spirit of it all.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think it's about, in this case, that I'm looking at, the example that I'm looking at, it's about being right.
Being
or,
right.
It's funny. There's just so many players involved in it. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so interesting about it. That's what I think the good part about all of this has been. That's what I think the stirring up that has happened on this side
mm-hmm.
has allowed me to see is like
the compassionate stirring
the compassionate stirring up is like
yeah.
wow, how does one maneuver their way through life
mm-hmm.
with all of these, it's almost like all the doors have been blown open almost, and it's
mm-hmm.
like conditioning is trying to say choose
yeah
do something and life is just like, wow, the doors are all blown open.
yeah
what's this
yeah.
life look like now?
Yes.
You know, and they keep blowing open.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a wanting to go back to just follow the program.
Yes.
You know,
of
and
course.
It's like life is just never going to leave me alone that way.
Yeah.
And that's the really good news.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm seeing as you're describing that the all the patterns that go with addiction. And the addiction keeps wanting to go back to get things the way conditioning wants them to be.
The to be and or stay in an argument about them and lose
yeah.
sight of the original the whole thing gets ditched for
yeah.
an idea about it.
Yeah. The whole thing
where,
gets
where
ditched.
Where do you land in this? Like who are you in all of this?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about that. You're just like practice just gets conceptualized, and all of a sudden it's like it's running the show now,
yeah.
and I've lost the whole spirit behind it all.
Yeah, really gets all, it really takes all the energy, just sucks it right out, doesn't it?
Oh.
And it gets it into
well,
that.
Well, it's funny how that experience happens, because you get very, it's deceptive in that way that it can get very energized in its story.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, there's a, I imagine that's why it's popular to be right, or, you know what I mean? Because it's called righteous indignation, and it's, mm-hmm. it has this kind of flame-like quality to it,
mm-hmm.
and it's like,
yes.
and it can stay very perked up
in its head,
but that's the deceptive part about the whole thing, mm-hmm. is that it truly is depleting for the human, because the human really does get ditched in all of it. It just,
yeah.
it takes a while for the human to get ditched by the side of the road with no energy left.
Yeah.
The whole trail of carnage that it's left in its wake, and really disappointing in that, you know, I have completely given up the very thing that was supporting me, or the very thing that was underneath all of that,
yeah.
for this idea, and
not
the idea,
talked out of it.
My conditioning was stolen from me.
Yeah,
you know, that's why I picture this, you know, deathbed scene, you know, that Cherry mentions, you know, like, you know, I got to the end of my life, and it's like, wow, it was all for that.
Yeah,
you know, I lost everything for that.
Yeah, and in the sea, and you're halfway back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. And so, and that's why, you know, this still small voice is really the place of being here,
mm-hmm.
and never argues in that kind of way.
Yeah.
And why it's not as popular, because it's not the screaming person on the TV screen, you know, trying to sell you something.
Yeah,
it's not catching my attention like that.
Yeah, just pssst.
Yeah, pssst.
You can turn it off. You can turn it off. Yeah, yeah. Do you look over here? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do what?
No, that's I think that accurately captures what I think is going on.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. 78, Penny.
I was enjoying the just enjoy it idea.
Just
watching
enjoy it.
All.
Yeah.
As I was
might
sitting.
As well, huh? Might as well.
Might as well. As I was sitting this morning, that was what the mentor was saying to me, to just enjoy the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just saw some interesting things recently. I had been very identified with something, and what I caught the other day was that, I mean, I finally came back to realizing it was projection.
Uh-huh.
and
it's fun when that happens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what I realized was that what I missed by missing that it was projection, thinking it was about the thing,
mm-hmm.
was that what was being projected out there is in me.
You missed that.
I missed that.
Yeah.
So I was thinking it was out there.
Yeah.
And what I got was how conditioning uses projection to make me feel like I'm in a state of deprivation or loss,
mm.
because the thing I want is out there.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it wouldn't be projected out there if it weren't.
If
again.
You didn't already have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just thought, oh, what a vicious trick that is, you know.
Yeah.
And mm. so the whole thing the mentor's been saying of late is come back home, come back, come back, come back. And so I was just having that experience this morning of actually coming back, and I want to give testimony to the tools of the practice, because this has been going on in quite a while. The projection part,
mm-hmm.
and
the I want,
yeah,
not seeing,
yeah, exactly,
yeah.
And mm. and so finally, I did yesterday what I've been saying to myself, I should do for quite a while, which is I sat down and had a tea chair about it,
uh-huh.
and it just opened the gate, you know, it just really opened the gate to see what was happening,
yeah,
and. And, and it just feels like put me in a different place. I can feel conditioning wanting to pull me back to where I was,
yeah.
and can feel that I am not where I was.
Yeah.
I can still feel the pull,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not there in the same way.
Right. You've seen. You're in a different perspective.
I'm in a different perspective.
Stepped out of the karma.
Yeah. And so as I was sitting here this morning, without trying to do anything. The mentor had quite a few things to say to me,
mm-hmm.
that probably the mentor has been available to say to me all along,
mm-hmm.
but I hadn't cleared the space It felt like the two chair cleared some space.
Yeah.
Where I'm available now.
Yes.
And then I watch, I watch these things drop in, and then I watch conditioning want to do something about that. And mm-hmm. the mentor just says, don't try. Mm. Don't try.
Don't try.
Just, it'll be here. And so two or three things dropped in that just feel really big. And it's, the sense I have is, relating to what people have been saying, is that when that space opens up, what the mentor is just really happy for me.
Yes.
You know, it's not so much that the mentor cares about you're taking this path or that path, but when the space opens up, the mentor's just really pleased.
Wants you to have that.
Wants me to have that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not about that means you're doing it right now.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No, it's like, it's just, it's like just, it's just a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And then I experience the pleasure.
Yeah.
And then the mentor tells me that's what it's about.
Yeah, I just had an image of a parent watching the child take the first few steps and being so thrilled for the child.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Could you, Penny, could you say just a little bit about how you initiate that two-chair process?
You mean how you do it?
I think it might be helpful.
You mean how one does it?
How'd you get started?
Well, I got started by constantly getting the message it would be helpful to do.
Okay.
And
somehow perhaps being in just a little bit of resistance to...
Haven't been in resistance for weeks. Mm-hmm. But then finally yesterday, first the message. Mm-hmm. Secondly, finally saying I commit to doing it. I promise I will do it tomorrow. Uh-huh. And I did. Uh-huh. Setting aside the time, and I have a recorder, and I sat on one end of the bed and then the other.
Those were your two chairs.
Those are my two chairs, because I don't have two chairs where I was doing it. And I did the thing that someone mentioned on the radio show, switching my hand. So when I was speaking as the person needing facilitation, I had the recorder in my left hand. Because when I do if I do that writing exercise, you know, where it's the non-nominal hand that is the one that seems to speak from that voice.
Okay.
And then when I would move to the other end, I would switch it to my right hand. I found that helpful.
And that's the mentor, the person receiving the information.
Yes, and I have the experience that I always have, that conditioning tells me is impossible, which is I'm in it, it's telling how it is, I move to the facilitator seat and I'm the facilitator.
Yeah.
It's the darndest
thing. Completely out of it.
It is so bizarre.
Yeah.
I'm totally out of it. I'm just right there. I switch back. What? Switch back to the facilitator seat. I hear you saying that.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Just amazing.
Yes. Yeah. That's neat. Thank you for doing that, because it feels like, we talk about two chair, but we don't really talk about what it's like, sort of what we don't often talk about that. And I think that's probably very helpful.
And it's very different from, in my experience, from just talking to the mentor or just sitting in one spot talking. The literal physical movement is a very different experience.
Yeah, yeah. And your experience has been over and over, even though you never believe it's going to happen, that you'll be in the all stirred up place and then move to the mentors, and it sounds like switch the recorder to your right hand and be completely the facilitator.
Yeah, and what I hear what you're saying that's helpful is, I've talked about this ad nauseum on my recorder, but not from that perspective, and what I realize is that when I'm talking about it, there's nothing to shift me out of that identification, really.
Yes.
But in the two-chair exercise, every time I move, I shift out of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what opens the space.
And I mean,
literally, it feels like that's the, Sherry talks about the gap.
Yes.
It feels like that's the gap.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I would project that when you're recording from the identified place and listening to it, in a way, you're just reinforcing the identity.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. Except there's something in there saying, do the two-chair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. And there were things that were helpful. There were things I saw. But there was just something about, literally that movement that breaks the patterns in a way that nothing, in my experience, nothing else does.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
So I've been looking at something. I think I got bamboozled, but it has to do around being like really excited to do something or making a decision or thinking I've seen something clearly, mm-hmm. and I feel really good, and then I do something that wouldn't be considered fortunate.
Might be unskillful, we might say.
It reminds me of, I'll give you a couple of examples. So one was, I made this decision, I'm not going to work Saturdays anymore, starting in June. And then I'm going to cut back and look to see what's next. And this week, I said yes to three different things. I could actually say I said yes to four different things. New things. Mm-hmm. Like, how did that, I was feeling good. Uh-huh. And I think, I've heard Sherry poignant, feeling good and then kind of falling asleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was like I was feeling good. And so I didn't see that I had made a decision to wait to say yes to anything else. Because I was feeling so good. I'm full of energy.
Yes.
And then the other example is, I was super excited to do something. And then it was like, I was a little kid. I was identified with somebody. It was like going to Disneyland, practically. I was just so excited to see this person. And then it was like all boundaries went away. And I just, bleh, just not even about me. Just about, giving information. It was just an odd experience.
And did you get information after that somehow you had been unsuitable?
Well, so, of course I got information. Oh, yeah. Without an effort. It was not just information, it was a beating.
Yes.
Not with the saying yes to things. That I could actually stay somewhat curious about.
Mm-hmm.
But the interaction, I definitely got
bleh.
Information. Yes, the bleh. And I don't know if this was true, but this is how I looked at it when I responded to the email class. So it was like I got talked into something with karma. Just karma. Just karma. Like, and then there was self-hate, of course, right after it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listened to that exercise, the Sherry facilitating mm-hmm. for the, and I would feel like disidentified. I was like, oh my gosh, because I was completely identified and believing the self-hate.
Yes.
And then, I got information right after. And what I have been...
And did you question... What I'm wondering is, did you question the source of the information?
No, absolutely. Did not question the source of the information.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew... Well, here's what would happen, actually. The duality would come in and argue with each other. So it would come in and beat me up. And then somebody would get on the other...
But it wasn't that bad. I really just...
Right,
kind of
we all have stuff to look at, and you get this opportunity, you don't use this language, you get this opportunity to see how this process, and that would be somewhat true, but then there was, it was just walking that line of paying attention, it felt like, just paying attention, and what ego wants to do is find an answer.
Mm-hmm.
So there was and I could relate, I don't even know if this was what was being pointed at, but it felt like I could be, so I would listen to that thing that she facilitated for the resistance thing, and I would feel completely present. There was still seeming to be the residue of the whole thing going on. So there was still like a echo, mm-hmm. I don't know,
Mm-hmm. Just enough of a feeling to keep you in it, in a way.
Somewhat feeling aware that I staying really present would be really helpful,
mm-hmm.
or I was going to go right back into it. And then I would look. There was somebody who said, and this is where it gets tricky for me, somebody who said, it's what's really important. Really important to pay really close attention and be in the moment. So it was total like in the moment.
Yes.
So that you can see what was going on. Don't just go back to it's a beautiful day.
Yes. Yes.
Because and this is what I said in the thing, that's really irresponsible.
Uh-huh.
Because if you don't go out and look at this, only what it really means is think about this.
Yes.
Analyze it, figure it out.
Yes.
But it'll use look at.
Yeah.
It uses our language. Then it could happen again.
which is that place, in my experience, where it completely obliterates any possibility of seeing how it happened.
Right.
Because that's going on, and it's convincing me that I somehow have to make an effort to pay attention,
yes,
to be present, and to see.
Well, because
meanwhile,
it's
got
exactly
all the evidence.
Yeah, because it is telling me there was something wrong. And
yeah,
what A Beautiful Day tells me is, everything happens for a reason. It's all your opportunity.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
being a beautiful day. That was a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
You know, this is. Yeah, but it just seems so unprepared. I don't know. You know, it's like ego says that I need to be tight,
yeah,
and looking,
yeah,
so that it does not happen again.
Yes. And
never.
Well,
what I see, like with the example of saying yes to things, I could actually call three of those people back,
mm-hmm,
and say, you know what, I realize I'm booked. I'm going to have to refer you to somebody else.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Because, you know, that's just going with information that arises in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rather than having, so what I don't see that as a possibility if I'm trying to figure out how I got there.
Yes,
oh,
because you're stuck.
I mean, you said yes, and how did you do that? And I mean, oh my gosh, never,
yeah,
seeing,
yeah,
that all I have to do is make a couple phone calls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
I'm not present to have that information.
Right.
Because I'm trying to figure out how I got there.
Yeah. Yeah, which is really critically important to see, isn't it?
Yeah, it's easier for me to see with that example. The other example, it's so, even though it was the same exact process,
mm-hmm,
it tells me, you know, I believe the self-hatred. You know, it comes in with the pseudo-Zen language, and it says, mm-hmm, it's different with this situation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just be in the moment and wait for information. You have to make this right.
Uh-huh.
Because it was wrong.
Because there is a problem.
And there is a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep you feeling really hyper aware that, uh-huh, this was a problem.
Yes.
So
and it'll be a problem until,
yeah,
you figure out,
yes,
how to make it right.
And I just saw the example, I don't know, a few weeks ago I used the example of Clara and soccer.
Yes.
And that I needed,
yes,
to explain to her.
Yes.
And that's exactly what it's telling me. And I'll just tell you what happened,
uh-huh,
at her soccer tournament.
Uh-huh.
She made the two winning goals on the Saturday before. In order for them to go forward,
uh-huh,
they had to win these games.
Mm-hmm.
And in both games, boop, she kicked the ball in and made the goal that won the game for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could have given her information, you know, not,
yeah,
playing is really, really bad. And why, you know, why even go out for it?
Uh-huh.
You know, let me just tell,
yes,
you.
I don't want to set you up for a,
right,
disappointment that's going to happen if you...
Yeah. And I want to give you really true information that's helpful.
Yes.
Even though it's a bit negative.
Yes.
You know, not playing at a game means this.
Yes.
And it's the same attitude that it's telling me. You know, I'm just,
yeah,
trying to help you here.
Yeah.
Susan.
Yeah.
You know,
so how did you get to
permission?
That place with Clara where you didn't say that to her?
Oh, Melinda, part of it was just holding onto the cushion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just breathing and staying and not saying anything. And
so,
then it's sort of something that's... I guess that's this. You know, this too will pass. It's like the weather. Trust my experience of all of karma.
Well, and it,
you know,
feels so important to see and to have gone through that process with Clara and soccer and see how this is exactly the same thing being done to you.
Yeah, it's really
because
helpful.
you have the experience of the shift that didn't.
I have the experience of
Clara's
seeing
soccer,
her soccer career. I have an experience of seeing that with her that information was not correct. That she,
yes,
loved it, whether she was playing or not.
Yes.
I mean, it was. She says it was the happiest day of her life to make those two goals. But she was still enjoying,
yeah,
herself along the way.
She didn't have that other story.
She didn't have that other story going.
Right.
She really didn't, even though I really wanted,
yes,
to tell her.
Yes. Yeah.
I really wanted to tell her.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I have that experience of seeing that the information that comes from self-hatred, really, is not true.
Yeah.
And it isn't necessary to act on it or believe it.
Yes.
And,
yes,
and that it can still be somewhat, well, I want to say challenging to sit with all the sensations in the body as I prove to my heart that it's not necessary to turn my attention to that anymore.
Yeah, that's the holding on to the cushion.
That's the holding on to the cushion. That's what I was looking at as the light room. Dark room was being pointed at.
Mm-hmm.
That pseudo Zen wants the light room, it says.
Mm.
Well, it does, because it wants me in a duality. It doesn't like the holding onto the cushion and breathing.
Right.
And turning to the mentor.
You're in danger of getting free of it.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's just
mm-hmm.
helpful to be facilitated through, to see that it's, oh, I guess the place that I come to at the end of this conversation is that this is what it is. You know, it's a holding onto the cushion time.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm. nothing to fix.
Right, nothing to fix. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
If you had told me when I first started that was what was going to happen, not my idea of
mm-hmm.
enlightenment, union with God, I would have, if someone had said, you know, what union with God looks like is holding onto the cushion mm-hmm. sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it looks like playing in the snow. You know, sometimes it looks like bumbling through and getting caught into karma.
Yes.
You know, it's all it. You know, that's what I'm saying. That's my yearly thing, I guess. This is it. It's
this
all
is it.
It.
Is it what we have?
There isn't an it that's different that mm-hmm. we're going for, other than this.
Might as well enjoy it. It's great.
My heart really likes that information.
Yeah.
So I'll just enjoy that information for just a second.
Thank you. So, Quiet, did I see your hands?
I was just, the conversation about what life wants for us, I thought was just really interesting.
Mm.
And in during that conversation, I often see images rather than words.
Mm-hmm.
Or words sometimes are not easiest for me. It seemed to be. And I just saw this image of this incredible force, what might be referred to as life.
Uh-huh.
This, you know, just incredible, energetic, loving force, just coursing through everything,
mm-hmm.
and including this form. And in that sense, you know, I just grew up in a tradition where, you know, God for me was a he,
mm-hmm.
and he had a long beard,
yeah,
and he and he was up there, and he had this huge book,
uh-huh.
and you know, and everybody's name was in that book,
uh-huh.
including mine,
mm-hmm.
you know, and every time he wasn't recording what I did well, he was recording what I did wrong,
yes.
And
yes.
every time I did something wrong, there was a mark next to my name, you know. And that, so from that image of, you know, gosh, you know, life was not really.
It's a pretty scary place.
A pretty scary place to live. I mean, life was obviously not on my side.
Yes.
It was just waiting for the next wrong move.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And, that would be, you know, I guess then at the end of your life, all those checks were added up, and, you know, I was like, well, sorry, you know, you go to that place. And so anyway, you just have this image come through, and I don't get the sense that it's not personal.
It's not personal.
It's not personal. It's just like, just it wants to flow 100% through this particular form.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
And I could just see with that mm-hmm. flowing, that energy,
mm-hmm.
it's like, yeah, that contains all the intelligence of life. And then, you know, I don't know a whole lot about electrical circuits, but, you know, there's that resistance that happens
mm-hmm.
when it's not allowed to just come.
When the 100% is reduced by the...
Yeah, when the doors aren't open.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's that resistance that just impedes that incredible flow.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's a really helpful image, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can feel, it's a felt sense when the resistance is there.
Yeah.
And just you feel know like that. That's holding that life force from being able just to just do what it's going to do.
Just fly through all the open doors and take this being on the joyride. And it's not keeping track of whether I open the doors or I don't open the doors.
Yeah.
It's just available.
Doesn't have any markers.
It doesn't have any markers for this. Yeah, she will, but she'll open the door, stay. Oh, no, she can't open the door, stay.
Yeah.
You know, it's just what's available. And as I said earlier, why not just enjoy the ride?
Not resisting any of it.
Which probably opens, always open the doors.
More doors.
Anyway.
Yes. Great, thank you. That's our time. Thank you.